We just sang the first 9 verses of Psalm 104, and we plan to sing the remainder soon, but before we do, we'll read the psalm together. I'll read it, and then you'll hear a proclamation called the sermon. It's about a creator king. No spoiler alert there, that'll become very clear. I invite you to follow along, though. It's Psalm 104. In your Bible, it's 35 verses, and we'll be racing through this baptism and the word today. But because both point you to the same Savior, it all goes together. The one who saves. And with that said, let's hear the word of the Lord, Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire. He set the earth on its foundations so that it should never be moved. You covered it with deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. The mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine and bread to strengthen man's heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, cedars of Lebanon that he has planted. In them the birds build their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the rock badgers. He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness, and it is night, when all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom, you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things, both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan, which you formed to play in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, by your Spirit, you place a song in our hearts, a song that celebrates you, that blesses you. Lord, we want to enter this song today for ourselves. We want to sing it like we mean it. We want to understand it better. We want to understand how it reveals good news. Lord, open our eyes to see and our voices to express what you have made known in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, the sermon title was Bless the Lord, and we talked about what that means, and then we heard it proclaimed. Bless the Lord is repeated many times in Psalm 103. And we detailed benefits, reasons even, to bless the Lord, to thank him, to praise him, to show our gratitude from the inside out for his blessings poured out on the covenant people. And then we saw that this is all so and for us to do because of Jesus. Now, this song is picking up, in, not just in our series, but it's right next to the call to bless the Lord, and not surprisingly, I guess, it wants us to do the same today. But the title is going to be a little different. We're going to zoom in on a particular theme that Psalm 104 has set in front of us. It's a creation song, is what we'll call it, creation song. What about it? We're going to jump right in. Again, I'm feeling not so much rush, but it's 35 verses. Come on. If you know me, that's tempting to divide it. But we're going for the whole thing. The outline's going to go by quickly, but I'll repeat it along the way. The call and the plan is still to bless the Lord as the Creator King who shines, who speaks, who sustains, who satisfies, and who saves. That's the Creator King that we bless. He shines, speaks, sustains, satisfies, and saves. Many activities here by the King, and we'll sing back this song to him in our worship and concluding that song, contemplating some pictures along the way that are revealed. And the pictures, this word is supposed to inspire in God's people a sense of confidence. You could say commitment and comfort, but you should leave here emboldened, not because I'm an amazing speaker, but because this is an amazing word. It's a picture of a celebration and a satisfaction in a Creator King, a glorious King who rules his creation. And notably, up front, I will note that the song is not about creation per se. It's tempting to think of there's a lot going on here that might make you think that, but that would be a different kind of idolatry. It would be closer to paganism. We're not worshiping the creation, and you know that, but it's worth saying. This song is about the Lord of creation. That is who receives the blessing, and that is why we will feel blessed by him. Okay, so not the creation itself, because actually we're part of it. Our song is to the King, the Creator King, who, first of all, as we say it here, he shines. He shines. The first four verses paint a picture like that. I won't be rereading the entire song, but you see this call to bless the Lord with the soul, and you see here pictures of light and a flaming fire. He shines. And the picture here, I think in your, I'll reference your 242, your small group study notes more than once. I think I'd asked you to draw three pictures. And one of the pictures was, not that we're drawing pictures of God, we don't even know what he looks like. But the first four verses, there's this shining picture of someone, the way I summarize, he's robed, royal, riding, and recognized. Picture these clouds, the light, the flaming. See, he's clothed, he's covered with light. Verses 1 and 2, with a garment, there's his robe. Splendor and majesty. See, he's great, and so he's presiding. Verse 3, the wind is being called in. We got these messengers, the ministers, angels, these flaming fires. He's surrounded. And all of this, robed, royal, and riding, is showing that he is recognized. This is the Creator King. Anyway, the psalmist comes out just blasting with this beautiful picture. We won't be singing it today, but there's a song called O Worship the King that's based on this psalm, and one of the phrases in there that maybe you've sung before is, whose robe is the light, whose canopy space. Right? So he's wearing this light, he's a robe, he's shining, and he's riding along. He's shining. It's very bright and victorious. Everyone knows it. We'll find out later in the storyline in Romans 1 that some people want to suppress this. There's no God. He doesn't ride. We don't recognize him. But God's people celebrate. You don't suppress. You say, let's sing the song. We'll get there in just a moment. He's so great that he shines, and we bless him for it. We also bless the Creator King because he speaks. He speaks. This is, of course, revealed in the song itself. But maybe you picked up in your groups because you might have been hinted and nudged to pursue this, that we're looking at this psalm as, at least in general, a reflection on the creation days. It's pretty evident, and if you want to read more, the scholars get very excited about how this lays out. I won't read the different ways to outline this, but they can show day 1 through 6 how it lines up rather nicely with sections in the psalm. And so the psalmist is saying, let's go back to the beginning. When God said, let there be light, and there was. The Lord speaks and something happens. It's not a scientific recollection. It's poetic. I hope you got that, either by the way it's read or by the way you read it in your heart, the way you understand Hebrew poetry. You know that this isn't trying to say, well, I don't know, that didn't happen before that day, and then you get grumpy about it. Not the point. That there's a lining up. There's, in both the Genesis account and in this account, you'll hear a report of there's light, there's heavens and expanse divided, so you have an upper register, a lower register. Land and water get separated, so they're distinct. You have vegetation and trees. You have luminaries that keep the time. You have creatures in the air and the sea. And you have land, animals, and man. And you have food. Food for all these creatures. And it's all good. It's all glorious, and the song is celebrating that. This is not simply descriptive. This is an excited singer. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's a creation song to the Creator King, who shines, who speaks, as we just reviewed. And also, he's not just reviewed, there's a reference here that's very clear. The call is to praise, to celebrate. There's a footnote here, if you like this kind of thing. I won't make hay of this, but scholars get excited about the contrast and the overlap with like a 14th century B.C. Egyptian song. It's a hymn to the sun, And they see the different provisions. But what's different about this one, though, as among other things, is it's not just describing the creatures and their provisions, but this is looking to the one who's to be worshipped. Not the sun and the sky, but the Lord who creates. That was a footnote. I'm going to dare to put a footnote to the footnote. There's a Star Trek episode, the first edition, that came to mind when I was reading this, that you have, okay, you got that Egyptian hymn to the sun. There's this episode, I won't relive the whole thing. But the crew is perplexed when they get to a planet where these ancients are, they're really bright and they're pious, and yet they worship the sun. Like, how can people so bright and pious worship the sun? Isn't that ancient? And it isn't until the very end, one of the big enlightened moments of the Star Trek series, is when Uhura explains in a very gentle voice, they're not worshiping the sun in the sky, they're worshiping the Son of God. Footnote to the footnote, Egyptians know, Star Trek less so, Psalm 104, yes. Bless the Creator King who shines as robed royal writing and recognized, and who speaks. He speaks, and it is, and we reverence him for it. He also sustains. That'll be a third point here. He sustains, and there are many examples from this song. If you were here the last couple of Sunday nights, you got a double dose of total depravity. This point will, to coin this one will be total dependence. Total dependence is what's coming here in terms of sustaining. The total depend, and also total dependability of God. Personally, this Lord, Creator King, sustains personally. These activities that are described and celebrated are done by a person. God is not a force. He is a person. And I hope you feel this is very personal, what's happening here. We even get personal names. He lays the beams. Verse 3. He sets the earth on his foundations. Verse 5. You set a boundary. Verse 9. You make springs gush forth. Verse 10. You water. Verse 13. You cause the grass to grow. 14. Etc. It's very personal. The Creator King is busy. He's active. He's engaged in his creation. He's not this distant thing, like deists say. He's not detached. He's engaged. Our God, the Creator King, is personally involved. And that's one reason why he's praiseworthy. And that's another reason why you should feel comfort and care as you sing. He sustains personally and purposefully. He has a purpose for the creation. There's a design that's revealed here, certainly if you studied the Genesis account. But here, as the poet and the psalmist relives it, you see a purpose. He's going to provide food. The food sustains the creatures. If he doesn't do it, the creatures die. So there's a purpose for this. He gives food and water for all. You saw that and got the plants. You got man and beast. Again, without rereading all this, he provides stability. Why? He's got the foundations of the earth. He's got the boundaries. The waters go away. There's the land. Oh, we've got mountains. And then there are seasons. Seasons are going to mark the time. The moon will do its thing. We can count on it. Even unbelievers look and say, I think we know this is a new moon. Oh, look at that crescent moon. We knew that would be today. It's very orderly. It's purposeful. It's providential. Providence, among other things, means this Creator King provides. He controls everything. Sometimes we refer to this as common grace. That could be its own sermon, but just common grace. Here all the creatures get to enjoy this predictable, providential, purposeful, personal creation. There's order. Verses 19 through 23, really 16 through 23, I asked you to summarize some of this in one word, like, hey, come on. One word, all of that, and the word I wrote down, this doesn't mean it's right, if you're in the group, I put orderly. Yeah, you can do what you want. It's predictable. It's waterful. I asked you to consider there's like at least seven times there's a reference to some sort of water activity here, images of the earth that is presenting it as soaked. Did you catch that? As just even reading it, there's a saturation with water. It's sustained. That's the point we're on. Here's the Creator King. This globe is going to need water. Part of the providing here. Teeming with life. Got all the water animals. Obviously, they need water. But so do the land animals. We need to sustain life here. Let's have water. Also, in O Worship the King, there's a stanza that says, your bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air. It shines in the light. It streams from the hills. It descends to the plain and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Right? There's a poetic summary of a poetic summary that we sing. And there's a picture. I asked you to draw a picture for verses 14 and 15. If you glance at that, I don't know what you drew. I drew, you know, like a little picture. Mine's more of like a home on the range kind of thing. You've got livestock there. You got grass and plants, if you can see those verses. And you got the harvest sequence. You got grain and grapes and oil. There's gladness, of course, on the range. It's very homey. It's pastoral. It's purposeful. It's provided for. Verses 14 and 15. There's a picture. Home on the range. Orderly. Life provided by the Creator King. It's very powerful. I thought I'd add for free this morning another catechism question because it's the one about providence. I'll just read it and you'll say, ah, yes, I love that. It's number 27. What do you understand by the providence of God? Answer, providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God by which he upholds as with his hand heaven and earth and all creatures and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. The fatherly hand sustains. It's a creation song to a creator king who shines, who speaks, who sustains, and who satisfies. It's the fourth point, if you're keeping track. It's pretty much a continuation of the last point, to sustain, yet we're adding here an emphasis of pleasure. There's it's not just provision, but there's a delight, there's a celebration, there's a satisfaction with all the good things that are going on here. They're made manifest, they're made manifold, as verse 24 tells us. You have these great wonders of God. He makes a perfect place for his creatures to enjoy. And let's look at the vastness and the variety. That's part of what verse 24 is trying. See verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Okay, so it's a picture. It's vast, and there's a lot of variety. God is not, there won't be boredom here. There's a lot going on. And verse 24, there's a song that is here taking a pause, change of pace a little bit, to take a breath, maybe to see something, and maybe to sigh a little bit, to take it in. The Creator King is wonderful, satisfies with wisdom works and wonders. I gave you that quote from Tim Keller, which is very much in line with, I often quote Derek Kidner, he's one of the commentators who's just really packed stuff in short spaces. And this is the one, I'll go ahead and read it, if you weren't in a group. This is Tim Keller's reflection on verse 24. Quote, verse 24 stops for reflective worship. There are 5,000 known species of sponges on the ocean floor, and over 300,000 species of beetles. There are multitudes of different flowers, trees, birds, and animals, some of them enchantingly beautiful, others enchantingly odd. Why? They reveal the unsearchable wealth of God's creativity, the infinite range of his thought, his love of beauty, even his sense of humor. And because it is all designed by divine wisdom, this verse invites us not just to marvel at it all, but to explore and to study it too. It is an invitation to both science and art. End quote, discuss, assess. Okay, so maybe you chose that one. Maybe you thought that's not the one we want to talk about. But that's a like your only quote for this week to ponder. The wonder of it all. This is the Lord who satisfies with vastness and variety and then with vividness. If you look at this snapshot here, verses 25 and 26, I asked what in this song made you smile. This won my smile award. These couple of verses, I'll read those. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things both small and great. There go the ships and Leviathan, which you formed to play in it. Right? Yeah, so you're supposed to see these. These are great sea creatures. Yeah, Leviathan. Sometimes Leviathan is thought of as scary. Might show up as a scary creature. Lots of speculation on what Leviathan is. Here it seems to be at least a very big sea creature. And it's in this setting, it seems to be having fun. You notice that? Frolicking around a little bit. It's formed by God, but it's formed in this case for playing. You see that? And it's either playing with sailors out on the sea, which we just saw. It might be a whale, if you've ever done whale watching. And the whale's out there moving around, and everyone's having fun. So here's Leviathan. And it could be, another way to translate this, is it could be formed to play with. Not just play in, but play with something or someone. And maybe in this case, play with God. That God's having fun. Leviathan. Having fun with pet Leviathan. You're fun. If you have the Jesus Storybook Bible, it reminds me of this. Here's another poetic summary of a poetic summary. You ready? This is from Sally Lloyd-Jones, doing the creation account. I'll just do part of it. Hello, birds, God said, and with a fluttering and flapping and chirping and singing, birds filled the skies. Hello, fish, God said, and with a darting and dashing and wriggling and splashing, fish filled the seas. You're good, God said. And they were. Then God said, hello, animals. And everyone came out to play. The earth was filled with noisy noises, growling and gobbling and snapping and snorting and happy skerfuffling. You're good, God said. And they were. And God saw all that he had made, and he loved them. And they were lovely because he loved them. Vastness, variety, vividness, vitality, life, life to the full, abundance. You see there in verses 27 and 28, we have an abundance of food filled with good things. I'll take you back to 1976-ish. If you can picture a sixth grade teacher with a handlebar mustache, if you know him. He would lead us in this meek, humble mealtime prayer. And this is some sort of King James version, but in his meek voice and his mustache moving, although we're not supposed to look, see, but the prayer would be these verses, only King James. The eyes of all look to thee, O Lord, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. Amen. And then we'd get out our PB&J, our apple, our Hostess cupcake, and enjoy the abundance of sixth grade food in a brown bag. The Lord satisfies to the full and to the end. Gives oil, bread, and wine, as we've already seen. We're satisfied with these things. We're glad. We get strength. We get breath. Verse 29, even unto the dust, we get this new life. Verse 30, as the Spirit breathes, the breath and the Spirit, same picture here, there's life. To the full and to the end. And the call for the psalmist is, of course, to bless the Lord with a satisfied soul, is what's being pictured here. The final verses here, verses 31 through 35, would be our summary of a right response if you've already lost track of what that might possibly look like. I'll remind you that we bless him, as stated here, with glory and awe, verse 31. You see there, this is something that's bubbling from the inside out. Your heart is so full that it spills over in gratitude, and it spills over in a song, because you're reflecting on all of these wonders of a Creator King. There's delight and rejoicing personally by me, by we. See my meditation, verse 34. I asked you, what's that? I do have a whole sermon I could do on meditation, but that not right now. But the meditation here specifically is this song. It's like saying, may this song, I just gave you this song. May this song be pleasing to you. I rejoice in you. And there are specifics offered. And then, as I already noted, God delights. I hope you can see that in whatever picture form that takes, to understand that the person of the Holy One is so thrilled with his good creation that he's rejoicing in it. You see that, verse 31b? We need to let that sink in. And in Genesis 2, he looks at everything that he made, and he says, it's very good. And if you like the child book's summary, you're good. And they were good. We join the psalmist in seeing this. The Lord's working. It's approaching our senses. We want to take it in and use our voice to let it out, to let out of our soul, to express it. And maybe today that looks like something for you. We're going to use this lyric, but maybe the lyric in your heart is you have something recently. Maybe you drove through the gorge recently. Or maybe because it's fall time, you are sometimes caught breathless at looking at the colors that are out there. If you're that kind of a person that's aware that the trees are changing color and that that's a delight, not just a coincidence, the way nature works, do you think God enjoys his palette, his canvas? We have all these colors, and then maybe you want to dial into just the specific leaf, the red leaf of the October glory. And you let it pop. And you let that leaf proclaim to you, look how glorious God is. Look at his design. Look at his delight in creating that leaf. And then he put it in this canvas of other colors. We got orange and purple and evergreen. We join God in saying to the leaves, you're good. And then you get home after looking at the leaves and you settle into your nighttime routine and you bless the Lord for the taste of the grape or the taste of the kombucha tea. You bless the Lord for the smell of the coffee bean, the gentle sound and sensation of a cat purring under your feet. The Lord provides. It's delightful. It's pleasing to us. It's pleasing to Him. And rightfully and hopefully easily, we observe with grateful hearts and say so. Lord, I want to bless You with a satisfied soul. We have the singing and meditation, but there's also this awkward, maybe for you, the awkward response of repentance and faith. You see that in verse 35? I asked in your small group study questions, quote, in verse 35, what is going on with the inclusion? And then I said, intrusion of the words, let sinners be consumed from all the earth, etc. Do you feel this request should have been left out? Would you end your song and prayer this way? Now, you're supposed to feel a little bit set up because, of course, you don't want to say it should be left out because the Holy Spirit wanted it put in. But maybe you're nervous about it. Say, wait, things were going so well, shining and sustaining and satisfying. Speak. I get that, but why? What's the sinner stuff? Why drop that line into this lyric? The effervescence has been stopped, you think. So why wish the wicked to be no more? Short answer, all things that blemish God's wonderful creation, all persons who reject His great salvation, must go away. They get removed from the scene. That's part of the storyline. Have you read the Revelation? Have you read the Bible? Have you read how God's wrath works? Have you processed for yourself the need to repent and trust the Creator King for your restoration and redemption and your renewal? There's no full satisfaction for any creature unless and until the Creator King comes to win a battle. I didn't give you a Derek Kidner quote, but this is what he has to say about verse 35. It's short. He says, this verse abruptly reminds us the creation is not so much a choir as a battlefield, and there is a time to fight as well as a time to sing. If man's proper response to his Creator is conscious and ardent, it is also exclusive, a dedication to His victory and the reclaiming of His world. End quote. That's heavy, but it leads us to the final point. We want to bless the Creator King who saves. Who saves? He's got this wonderful creation. It needs a Savior. Here are the broken sinners. We just saw them lurking in that verse. They live in this broken world of wonder, and they need the sense of wonder restored. And the only way to get the sense of wonder restored is by having a wonderful Creator King who saves. Here He comes, the royal and robed one. Do you remember reading about Him in the Revelation? Yeah, you know where this is going. Whose light and might are very obvious in the Revelation of Jesus Christ. There the robe is dipped in blood because He's the suffering servant Creator King. The rider suffered on a cross to conquer sin, death, and endure God's wrath. Revelation 19 lays it out. He's riding. He's recognized as great. Maybe in your study you asked or pursued the question because it's written. Hebrews 1:7 quotes this psalm. Remember this? So we asked, why does Hebrews 1:7 quote Psalm 104:4? And a short answer, because there are longer ones, a short answer might include the fact that Jesus is greater than the angels. That's what the author's doing with it there. It's there the angels are referenced in the psalm. But Jesus is greater because He's God's Son. That's why He shines. That He's the Savior and He shines. He is the light of the world, John 1. He speaks, also John 1, because He's the Word. He's God. And when He speaks, things happen. If you remember, even in Mark 4, what does Jesus do with the water? He rebukes it. What does Psalm 104 tell us? He rebukes the waters and they do their thing. Jesus stands up, rebukes the water, and they shut up. That's who we're talking about here. Colossians 1 tells us straight out that Jesus is the creator of all things, that in him all things hold together. So he shines, he speaks, he sustains, he satisfies. And he satisfies in ways that go beyond just your food for today. And just the food for the young lion. And more than earthly bread and wine, because Jesus gives true food. He gives spiritual food for your souls. True bread, true wine, true bread of life, John 6. And then in the next chapter in John 7, Jesus is telling us he's the living water. You want never to thirst again? Yeah, come to me. So all these gushing waters, Jesus is saying, yeah, that's me. You want that kind of water? I can provide that. Satisfy you fully, give you life to the full, as John explains it in chapter 10. So Jesus comes to give that to those who thirst. He sends his Spirit, Acts 2, to do what? To effect this renewal, the redemption, this breath that brings new life to sinners. Psalm 104 points that out. And one way to think of this is that here's a song that's effectively looking at the old songs, in quotes, the old songs are reflecting on the creation. And then this is calling us to sing a new song. A new song is focusing on redemption, something, a work of God that reveals his great salvation. That's a point here. The Creator King, he saves. It's a song about Jesus, and we get to sing it back to him. I hope that the thing you remember from today is not this, because it's tempting. In your study notes, if you got them, and if you didn't, I'll tell you. Evidently, this is the first time in all of the Psalter that the word hallelujah shows up. Say, wait, what? I need to get in one of these groups. I want to talk about that. This is Psalm 104, and we haven't heard the hallelujah. It doesn't mean that praise hasn't been happening or blessing the Lord. That's been happening. But this is the first appearance of the word hallelujah. It shows up a lot more from here on out. But there's praise and blessing in a book, and here it drops, this hallelujah. And hallelujah would have been a word that's charged with a messianic kingdom expectation. We need a Messiah. That's the Lord we'll praise. We need an anointed one, which is what Messiah is, which is what Christ is. It's a name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And in this case, we see that there's a restoration of the kingdom on the way by a Savior. Who is this King? The Creator King, celebrated here, is the Messiah. He is the King who saves. And he's going to consummate his kingdom come. That's Jesus. Rightly, we bless him with our voices, with our hearts, with our hallelujahs, in what we call here a creation song. And before we conclude the song, let's pray. Father, we do thank you for creating wonders, and we thank you for sending your Creator King, Jesus. Sending him to shine and to speak, to sustain, to satisfy, and to save even us. Lord, receive our song of blessing this day as we bless you and celebrate you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's finish the song. We'll sing stanzas 4 through 11 of 104a, picking up in stanza 4.
That flow from every hill, quench the